try to meet new people as soon as possible. Try to make friends. Don't be shy. Just, you know, try speaking to people. I don't think that you will ever have a bad experience just starting a conversation with somebody.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu einer brandneuen Folge von Beste Zeit, dem Podcast zum Auslandsstudium von und mit College Contact. Ich bin Alexandra Michel.
Und ich bin Elias Merkel.
Und gemeinsam sind wir die Gastgeber dieses Podcasts, mit dem wir euer Fernweh wecken und euch ermutigen wollen, eure ganz eigene beste Zeit zu erleben. Sei es im Rahmen eines Auslandssemesters, einer Summer School oder auch eines kompletten Studiums im Ausland.
Um genau so ein komplettes Studium im Ausland, genauer gesagt in den USA, geht es auch in der heutigen Folge. Wie schon bei der letzten Episode hatten wir auch diesmal wieder zwei Interviewgäste.
Ja, Doppelinterviews haben bei uns langsam Tradition.
Ja, genau. Und zwar haben wir zum einen mit Cody McCabe gesprochen. Cody ist Director of International Education am College of the Desert, einem bei internationalen Studierenden sehr beliebten Community College in Kalifornien. Er hat uns erklärt, was ein Community College eigentlich ist und wie die dort angebotenen Associate Transfer Degrees sowohl einheimischen als auch internationalen Studierenden als Sprungbrett an amerikanische Top-Universitäten dienen können.
Unser zweiter Interviewgast war Laurenz Pehl. Laurenz kommt aus Deutschland und hat bis letztes Jahr am College of the Desert studiert. Nachdem er dort seinen Associate Degree abgeschlossen hat, ist er an die University of Texas in Austin gewechselt und direkt ins dritte Jahr des Bachelorprogramms in Business eingestiegen. Er hat uns erzählt, wie er damals auf die Idee gekommen ist, in den USA zu studieren und wie es ihm am College of the Desert gefallen hat. Außerdem hatte er noch einige richtig gute Tipps für diejenigen unter euch parat, die auch darüber nachdenken, in den USA zu studieren.
Die wollt ihr hören? Dann wollen wir euch nicht länger auf die Folter spannen. Los geht's! Hi Cody, hi Laurenz. Thank you for joining us today.
Elias, hello. It's great to be with you.
Thank you for having us.
Great. Welcome to our podcast. So I wanted to start off by asking you about the very unique name College of the Desert. Cody, you're the Director of International Education. How did College of the Desert get its name? Is it really located in a desert?
It is really located in the desert, and it's actually pretty common in California for colleges to kind of be named after their geographic area or some sort of feature of their location. So another one would be like College of the Canyons in a more mountainous part of Southern California, College of the Siskiyous, College of the Redwoods. So yeah, we are located in Southern California desert, and of course, you know, it is a curious name, but it really does kind of represent the geographic zone in which we're located.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think when we Germans think of desert, well, we probably think of endless sand dunes and lush oases. Is it anything like that at College of the Desert?
I think more the second. It's definitely kind of got the oasis vibe. I think Laurenz would agree with me on that. And it's a huge resort destination. You know, it's a huge tourist location. We get 16 million visitors a year. So yes, deserts are hot in the summer, but it's a dry heat, as we always say. So very different than a lot of other places that are maybe less hot, but more humid. And it's got beautiful, you know, scenery, and you would be surprised if you were Google it or when you're flying in, it doesn't really look that much like a desert because we have over 100 golf courses surrounding the college. We get only about 15 centimeters of rain a year, but we have a lot of groundwater, and so that's kind of gives it that oasis vibe and keeps it very lush.
Right. So you would agree, Laurenz?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, outward, when you go out of the cities, it's desert, yeah, and there's also a lot of mountains, so you really have to think about it in terms of a valley. But I mean, yeah, there's so many golf courses, there's so many palm trees. It really looks like you entered an oasis in the middle of the desert.
Right, and it's located in Palm Desert. Is that correct?
Yes, our main campus is in Palm Desert. We do have five campuses that are kind of spread throughout what's called the Coachella Valley. Mm-hmm. And that would include everything from Palm Springs out to Coachella.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think perhaps more Germans have heard of Palm Springs. That is also a very common name or a very common city. How would you compare both towns, so Palm Springs and Palm Desert?
Yeah, I mean, we're so close, and there's like seven major towns or cities out in the Coachella Valley, and they all just kind of essentially run together. Palm Springs is basically the first one you encounter when you're traveling in from Los Angeles, so that was one of the first places to be developed out here. Palm Springs, I would say, it's where I live. It's kind of got more of a vacation vibe. It's architecturally, it's kind of designed differently. Palm Desert is kind of more of, it's been developed more recently, and I'd say much more of like a traditional suburb in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And it certainly has, you know, resorts and people go there on vacation, but it's more of kind of like a traditional family area, I would say, than kind of like the resort party vibe you get throughout most of Palm Springs. I don't know. I'd have to defer to Lawrence on that too, because he kind of lived between the two in Rancho Mirage.
Yes, I would definitely agree with that. It's really not a difference, really. I mean, when you drive there through the cities, it's really when you drive on Highway 111, for example, that's the main connecting highway there. It's really a fluid transition from one city to the other. So you're driving and all of a sudden you're in Palm Springs. All of a sudden you're in Indio. All of a sudden you're in Cathedral City. So these cities are really sort of grown together. It's like one giant big city with individual cities within it. So yeah, I definitely agree with that. So Palm Springs, I would really say, has more of the resort area vibe, more of the a lot of art there, a lot of museums. And Palm Desert, I would say, is more the really traditional city, housing, schools. So yeah.
Got it.
Oh. Right. And before we talk more about Palm Springs, Palm Desert, and what you can do there in your free time and why it would be fun to kind of study there, I wanted to go back a little bit to kind of the basics. And Cody, when we talk about College of the Desert, we need to talk about the fact that it's what's called a community college. Can you explain to our audience that might not be familiar with the term what a community college is and how it kind of fits into the U.S. education system?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very popular kind of entry point into higher education in the United States. So there's over 1,200 throughout the United States, over 115 in California alone. And I think it's about 50% of undergraduates in the United States have taken classes at community colleges. And so they're kind of everything in many ways. So they, you know, of course they started as a very locally focused institution, type of institution. And, you know, many people come for what's called like, you know, different sort of vocational technical education programs that maybe would be for one semester or two semesters to complete the requirements. But they've really become popular as an entry point into universities. And so students like Lawrence have done do 2 years at a community college and then 2 years at a university. They call it like a 2+2. So you do years 1 and 2 at the community college where you're doing foundation level courses and the general education courses that students have to take for any major for a bachelor's degree. Whether you want to be an engineer or an artist, everybody's taking art, science, history, English, math, and those general subjects. And then you know, you gradually start to take foundation level courses and then up to 2 year level courses related to your major. And then, you know, universities recognize the courses that we offer as equivalent to what they offer in years 1 and 2. So many of them have transfer admission guarantees for students once they've completed at a community college to then begin years 3 and 4 or junior senior level courses for a bachelor's degree. So that's for international students. The kind of the primary reason to enroll in a community college is that pathway into a university. But it's become a very popular model, as you know, for students to do like gap year or study abroad because it's so flexible and there's so many options. You know, typically like at College of the Desert, there's hundreds of different programs that students can choose from and they can mix and match courses very flexibly. So it seems as though international students have kind of caught on to that over the past several years and really take advantage of it.
Right. So what kind of students would typically attend a community college? Is it students from the area mainly? Is it students that, international students? Is it more mature students? Because you say there's also vocational and kind of professional development programs. What's the student mix like at a community college? Or maybe more specifically at College of the Desert, for example?
I think College of the Desert is pretty representative in that the dominant population would be local, from local high schools, or as you mentioned, yeah, local professionals, all age ranges, people from all different backgrounds. But, you know, we also have over 30 countries represented in international student enrollment. And so that's the kind of the really cool thing about a community college. It's called Democracy's College, right? And so any given day you're walking across the campus and you're going to see somebody, you know, from another part of the world, from generations, you know, older than you or younger than you, studying part-time, studying full-time, you know, focused on going to a transfer university like Lawrence, or maybe taking one or two classes for just recreational purposes, right? You can go and take yoga in the morning, or you can do an engineering class. It's really across the board, which makes it really exciting.
You just said that College of the Desert is pretty representative for a community college in California, but you also said that there's more than 100, I think there's 111, 115 community colleges in California right now. Besides its location, what would you say makes College of the Desert unique or special, so that international students should consider it?
You know, I felt it as soon as the first time I walked on campus, and I hear it time and time again, is just kind of the culture and you know, the environment, the sort of the social and cultural environment and the people there. It's just such a warm, friendly, welcoming place. And so many people will kind of recognize it when they come out, and maybe they've, you know, coming from LA or coming from San Francisco, and they've heard about Palm Desert, they've heard about Palm Springs, maybe they've heard a little bit about College of the Desert. But people are always struck by, you know, of course, how beautiful it is. It's one of the 50 most beautiful college campuses in the United States. But then also just like how friendly people are, time and time again. Mm-hmm. I hear that as well. And Lawrence, I imagine you agree. Was that your experience?
Yeah, I was just going to say, what was your first impression when you got to Palm Desert and set foot on campus?
So my experience is a bit unique because I actually have been here to Palm Desert several times before I started studying there, just because I have family there. But yeah, obviously that's something I would say California culture in general, but I would say also specifically in the valley there, is that, yeah, people are very friendly. It's very, very, very open. You can talk to everybody. So I would say definitely when it's your first time in the US, and specifically maybe abroad in general, that's definitely something that you're going to be surprised by.
So since you have family in the area, Lawrence, I was just wondering whether studying there or in the US in general was always something that was pretty clear to you from the beginning that you would do, or when did you make that decision?
So it wasn't really clear from the beginning. It was more in the last year of my Abitur, so German mm-hmm. high school. Because I've had family there in the valley, and I've been visiting there a lot. So it was something where I was thinking about what options there are for studying abroad. And so I started sort of to inquire about the local area there and what kind of schools are close there. And it was actually my family there that reached out to Cody, and Cody started sending me emails with all the information. And then I more or less just applied and thought, I'm going to see what happens. And so it was really not a set in stone plan. It sort of really developed over time.
Yeah. Well, we can say it wasn't too bad of an experience, considering that you then extended your stay. Because as I just understood it, you were initially going for a gap year then, and then just decided to stay on for another year.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I wasn't too familiar with the whole university system mm-hmm. in the United States when I came first. So I was first thinking of doing one semester, two semesters studying abroad. Mm-hmm. But then I really learned about all the opportunities that you have about transferring to those really good universities like UT Austin or like UCLA or UC San Diego. So and that's really when I saw that this is actually a really good opportunity, and I tried to pursue that, and it worked out.
We didn't let him leave, so he didn't know it at the time, but he didn't have a choice.
Right. So what did you study at College of the Desert, and did you know ahead of time which major to choose, or was that a decision that also kind of came gradually, given that you originally came for just a gap year?
So that's actually a really good thing. I would say that is a little bit better than compared to the German university system is that you don't really have to know what you're studying right away. So you can be undeclared for the first two semesters or even later, I think. And you can really take different classes and really see what suits you the best. So I was first thinking of going into engineering, but I was also very interested in business. So I ended up doing business administration and getting an associate's degree in business administration at the College of the Desert. And now I'm going to UT Austin and I'm there at the McCombs School of Business. And within business, they also have six different majors. So for example, accounting, finance, and I'm doing right now management information systems. So this is sort of a mix between tech and business. But I'm actually also still on track for, I'm taking finance classes and MIS classes this semester. So I'm actually still on track to go into finance as well. So even after this semester, I could still without problem switch to being a finance major. So there's really a lot of ways for you to sort of get insights into different areas and really see what you like the best and then go accordingly into that direction.
Hmm. Cody, can you maybe talk a little more about how the college helps students find the right major and make that decision and build their schedules? I assume there's academic advising going on right from the start. So.
Yeah, that's a cornerstone. We call it counseling. And we're lucky at College of the Desert. We actually have our own counselor just for international students. And so it's an ongoing process. And yeah, many students come in thinking they want to study something and then change their mind after the first or second semester. And as Lauren said, you don't have to come in knowing what you want to do. And it's kind of, for many students, it's a gradual process because, as I mentioned, everybody has to do those general education courses. And that's a really great time to see what you like, what you don't like, what you're good at, what you're not good at. And one of the kind of classic courses that helps students decide their major is calculus. Right. And
then they either like it or you don't. Yeah. Give me more or just let me get out. Right.
Exactly. It really kind of is a fork in the road for students in terms of, am I going to go the, you know, like science engineering routes? Am I going to be STEM? Am I going to, you know, do something different? And but hey, it's great because it helps students really at that point make that decision. And so, but also too, faculty play such a big role in that. And I think, you know, faculty community colleges are so influential and, you know, what great in so many ways. One of those ways is that community college classes tend to be a lot smaller at year one and two than universities. And you'll commonly hear from a faculty member that teaches the same class at a university, like Cal State or UC, teach the same class, basically the same content, oftentimes the same textbook. But maybe at the Cal State or UC, they've got 100, 150 students. The community college, like College of the Desert, maybe they've got 20 students, 30 students, maybe even less than that. And so they really get to know the students. They really like that. And then they can really have a big impact on students' decisions in terms of what they want to study. And then even beyond that, the type of career that they get into.
Mm-hmm. I really like kind of the US concept of having this time to make a decision on your major. It's basically what German students do a gap year for, is to just kind of have some time to try out different things without committing to a certain program. Because Laurens, as you said, in Germany, the system is so different that you basically apply to a certain program. And yes, you can maybe change programs or you can change your minor or things like that. But in many cases, you will basically have to reapply and you're not guaranteed to get in. And if you do that too many times or too late, you may lose access to funding. So, and also it may feel like you've kind of failed in your first decision. So I really like the idea of being able to try different things and be undeclared. And I kind of wish we had something like that. It's just, I mean, of course, for students who exactly know what they want to do, apply for a certain program, fine. But for students who are not completely sure what they want to do, to be undeclared, as you call it, I think that's a really good opportunity.
I would almost add on to that too, kind of like the additional benefit of choosing a community college, because a lot of times, especially for international students, you know, there's over 4,000 higher education institutions in the United States. It's really hard to know the right fit for you. And what a community college does is it gives you two more years to figure out, you know, exactly what you want to study and where you want to study. And in many cases, students that go to community college are eligible to enroll at maybe a higher ranked university than they could have directly from high school. Hmm. Because, you know, of the transfer admission guarantees that we have, but the additional 2 years to maybe erase some of the things that, you know, they didn't do well in high school, or maybe they couldn't get the high SAT or ACT score. So many times students will come into community college, you know, knowing they're on the transfer pathway, but end up at a very different university than they originally thought. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would have ever thought Lawrence was going to end up in Texas.
Yeah, definitely. I'll definitely agree with that. So I think my high school degree, I had an average of 2.1. So, I mean, you can't really translate to ES grades, but it's definitely, it's like a minus or B average, I would say. And while I was going to COD, I really took it more seriously, I would say. And I ended up getting really good grades and I got accepted to very competitive schools. So that's also something I'm not sure whether I would have gotten accepted into UT or UCLA. Just with my high school degree.
Hmm. Which other schools did you apply for and apply to, and where did you get accepted?
So I applied to most of the UCs, so the Universities of California. So they're basically two systems in California, but I think also in pretty much every other state. So there's the so-called state universities, so San Diego State University, for example. And there's the UC system, so the University of California system, which is more research focused, I would say. So I applied to UCLA, UC Irvine, UC Riverside, UC San Diego, UC Berkeley, and I applied to USC, which is University of Southern California in LA.
And that's a private one, right?
That's a private one, exactly, yeah. And I applied to University of Arizona, and I applied to UT Austin and also a couple state universities. So I ended up getting accepted in UCLA, UC Irvine, UC Riverside, and USC, and University of Arizona, and UT Austin. And I ended up going to UT Austin.
Mm-hmm. What kind of prompted that decision to go to Texas, to leave California?
So I would say from an academic standpoint, I would say the best schools that I got into were definitely UCLA, USC, and UT Austin. So Cody can also maybe speak to that later. But I would say they're probably pretty similar from their competitiveness, from their ranking. And so I was going into business, and UT Austin is a really good business school and a really competitive business school. And so that was definitely one factor. The other one was that I have family 30 minutes north of Austin, and I've been visiting them before, and I really liked the area. I really liked Austin. And yeah, that was one contributing factor. Another one was that I wanted to be in person. I was a bit tired of being online on Zoom. So in Austin, I think it's been in person for over a year now, or 1.5 years now.
Right. So Texas has a bit of a different approach to handling the COVID pandemic than California does.
Yeah, definitely. So it's really unique by each state has different rules. And Texas is probably one of the more or most lenient. Florida, I think, is also pretty much the same way. And another factor was also that Austin is really one of the fastest growing areas in the United States right now. So there are a lot of companies that come here. I think Tesla just recently moved their headquarters to Austin. Apple is building here. Oracle is coming or has moved their headquarters already here. So there's a lot of job opportunities right here. And it's really the, I would say, the place to be right now.
I just want to follow up and say how unbelievably proud we are of you and those options that you had. And I know those are not, that's not an easy choice, right? When you have so many great options. And, you know, we always, our students tend to track into Cal States and UCs, right? And a lot of students choose California community colleges because that's their ultimate destination. But everything you just said, and it makes perfect sense that you would make that decision to go to Texas. And I'm just, you know, I love, because so many of our students don't realize that when they come, like, that you don't have to stay in California. You can go wherever you want. And you really made some very careful calculations. And I just can't wait to see where, you know, which one of these companies is going to scoop you up when you graduate.
Yeah, definitely. So that's really something. I mean, UCLA and UC are also really great schools. So I don't know how I've liked it going there, but so far I can just say I definitely did not regret going here. And it's a really great school, a really great area. There's so many things to do in Austin. So it's a tough choice once you get accepted to good schools. But in the end, you just got to think about your individual situation and what you want to do in the end, and decide based on that.
And you're surrounded by Californians in Austin anyway, right?
That's true. That's true. A lot of Californians here.
you're like, I moved from California, but I'm German.
I was just going to ask how you're doing with the Texan accent.
I would say I'm doing pretty good. I mean, to be honest, UT is also pretty diverse. So there are people from everywhere. I have friends that are from Virginia Beach. I actually also have friends that are from California here. But also one of my good friends, he's from Australia. So there's really a lot of diversity, people from lots of different backgrounds. So I wouldn't say that's a big issue here, really.
And we joke because like it's kind of a cultural phenomenon, the number of Californians that are moving to Texas, specifically to the Austin area. So they're like, they see you coming and they're like, oh, here comes another one. But
yeah,
that sounds great. And I just want to add to this because Lawrence, I think you have hinted at that, but yeah, it's so difficult to get into all these great schools. UCs, you mentioned it. I think if you apply out of high school right away, I think the acceptance rates for those UCs is somewhere in the teens. So it's very difficult to get in. And that's the great thing really about transfer degrees and admission guarantees. So I was just wondering, Cody, maybe you can speak to that. Do students already have to, like, at what point do students have to decide to which universities they would like to transfer, or when do they have to prepare for that transfer process?
Well, yeah, it's a good question. I mean, the sooner the better, right? We talk about all this flexibility and whatnot, but, you know, once you start taking higher level courses or you know, like your year two courses, your foundation level courses, you kind of have to have a general sense of which direction you want to go. So what we typically do is advise students to go with what's called IGETSE. It basically means the courses that qualify you for University of California. So they're kind of, they tend to be kind of the most stringent in terms of what they accept for transfer. So we typically will put students on that path because that path will basically get them anywhere. And so that way it gives them a little bit more time. Say they want to, you know, they're not really sure, that can kind of guarantee that they have the most opportunities once they get to the point when they're ready to make the decision. Right. So Lawrence, I'm sure Khan put you on that path to begin with, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think I applied, I don't even remember exactly. I think it was summer. So when I got the acceptance letters, that was, I think, in April, if I'm not mistaken, something around that time. And I think I filled out the application. I think it was due in November or something like that. It also depends. Each university has different, or university system or different states have different deadlines for the application. I would also say the deadlines are one thing, but preparing you should always sort of do and try to make yourself a more competitive candidate, right? Mm-hmm. So these universities are really looking for people that it's not only about grades, but also what you're doing outside of universities, what's your story. So you really should try and sort of do things above and beyond your schoolwork and try to make yourself more outstanding, more interesting, more unique applicant, really.
So you kind of decide on a major first, and then once you know what major it is, then you start thinking about what university you might want to apply to. And I know some community colleges have like transfer fairs where universities will come in and kind of talk to students on that path. I guess during COVID that was all a bit different, but Cody, can you maybe tell us a little more about how that usually works? And then Lawrence, maybe you can also tell us how you ended up deciding on where to apply.
Yeah, and I'll clarify too. I mentioned this person, Khan. Khan's our international counselor. And so what he does is from even before students arrive, he creates schedules for them. So he knows, you know, like the most flexible courses that would transfer anywhere. And then when students get the opportunity to start creating their own schedules, they can take a look and each course will have a designation as to which university system it transfers to, if it transfers. And we have very clear pathways. Pathways are very big at community colleges in California now to make it as simple as possible for students to understand what they need to get to their destination. So it's all about, yeah, like, okay, make sure you're taking courses that count towards the transfer degree that you want to get. But yeah, I mean, it's pervasive at a community college, that sort of like transfer, the transfer opportunities. We have a transfer center that's located directly across from our international education program office. There's constantly university representatives on campus. There are a couple of big fairs. And then we take students as well to visit Cal State's, UC's, University of Southern California as well. So there's a lot of opportunities for them to kind of meet not just the representatives from the admissions departments, but we really try to make sure students can actually get to the campuses to make a decision based on a personal experience. Lawrence, did you ever do one of the transfer university trips?
Actually, I tried to, but I couldn't go to the one. What I did by myself is I just drove to, so I visited USC campus, UCLA and UC San Diego campus just by myself and walked over it. Unfortunately, it was during the time when everything was still in lockdown, so you couldn't really get a feeling for how life there is really going to be. I think there were almost nobody really there on campus, so it was really not the same impression you would get compared to when they're actually people. But I mean, yeah, so they're definitely, I remember they had tours for most of the UC campuses and also State University campus. But you can also always do it by yourself. I mean, that's also a good thing about the area in Palm Springs. You're 2 or 3 hours from LA, 2 hours from San Diego. So it's you can go everywhere.
Yeah, you're right. It's our location it definitely helps for that. And yeah, we're hearing all the time. Like I every week it seems I'm getting, you know, contacted by university representatives that want to connect with our students. So it's just part of our culture, really, is that sort of that transfer success and COD. I think even perhaps more so than a lot of community colleges, we continue to graduate and transfer like record numbers of students at College of the Desert. And then when we really have this, you know, this big transfer ceremony, and you know, poor Lawrence didn't get to do it. It's over at this beautiful theater on campus, and you know, it's a lot of fun, and we really try to celebrate it. But yeah, it's been, you know, a little bit challenging when you transfer during the pandemic, right?
Yeah, I bet. And as Lawrence has just pointed out, it was a little bit unfortunate that when you got to visit all these campuses from other universities that you were considering transferring to, you couldn't get a feel for how campus and student life was going to be since it was in the middle of the pandemic. But let's talk a little bit about student life at COD, and perhaps let's start off by where students can typically live. Is there on-campus housing available to international students, for example, or what are the options?
So COD does not have on-campus housing. So my living situation was pretty unique because I was just living with my family there. Mm-hmm. But I heard of other students, they were staying with guest families. I mean, Cody, you can probably speak more to that point than I.
Yeah, it's very common for our students to participate in the homestay program, especially for like definitely recommended for like gap year students or gap semester students, because they don't have to worry about anything, right? They don't have to buy furniture. Somebody picks them up at the airport. They have meals prepared for them. Typically, very nice homes, you know, in nice neighborhoods mm-hmm. around the campus. Oftentimes, swimming pools, right? But some students that choose to be, you know, more independent, there's plenty of apartment options as well by campus where they can live alone or live with other students. It just kind of depends on a student's, you know, lifestyle. But yeah, for community colleges, it's very uncommon to have a dormitory.
Mm-hmm. And now that we're hopefully nearing the tail end of the pandemic and hopefully it's going to get better soon, what would... campus life at COD looked like usually.
I'll let our student maybe start, and then yeah. But I know yours was kind of immediately abruptly cut short, but well, before that.
So I would say I think it was the first two semesters were still in person, mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken. I think the second semester was when it sort of got cut in the middle and it transitioned to online. So obviously there's a lot of things to do on the campus. There are a lot of places where you can just hang out with friends. They have tennis courts, they have soccer fields, football fields. So there's a lot of recreational things that you can do with friends and just meet up there. But also besides that, what I think is good about the Palm Springs area, it's you have a lot of things that are offered there from a perspective of restaurants, stores, and just things like that. But at the same time, it's not as big or as packed as a big city is. So you have really the amenities of living in a big city while not actually living in a big city. Mm-hmm. So it's really not so packed. You have it's more laid back. You're not stressed by the traffic or whatever. And yeah, there's a lot of things to do. Also, I would say what's really nice there is the nature there. So you can go hiking. There are many hiking trails. I mean, I went skiing once in Big Bear. So that's also only, I think, a 1.5 hour drive, if I'm not mistaken. Or you can go surfing the same day as well. Go to the beach in San Diego. So that's really a cool thing there. I would say that you have all the amenities. You have all those options to go to bigger cities. But you don't have to if you don't want to.
I totally agree. Like, people love it in our area, love to talk about how, like, you know, within 2 hours you can be some of the most famous beaches in the world, and then some incredible skiing. Like, the two tallest mountains in Southern California are right above our valley, and that's what actually kind of lends to our desert environment. Is these mountains are so huge, they block like a lot of the moisture that comes from the Pacific Ocean, that is typically what, you know, the rain and moisture that the rest of the region gets, we don't get because of those mountains. And yeah, Lawrence, you're totally right. And what I love is that we're not LA, we're not San Francisco, we're not urban, but because we get 16 million tourists that come in every year, or, you know, part-time residents, we have way more restaurants and shops and entertainment venues and things to do than, you know, a community our size typically would. So, and about like student life, It's a huge priority for our program, the international program, to make sure that our students are connecting as quickly and as meaningfully as possible with local students. So, for example, during our international student orientation, we try to have as many local students there as kind of like mentors or student leaders as we do have international students. And so anytime we do programming, and we do a lot, we take students throughout the region, you know, on cultural trips and really just to have fun. We'll always try to have a bus that's like 50-50, right? 50 like percent international, 50% local students. And anytime we have activities on campus, the same sort of thing too. So I think especially we kind of keep in mind our, particularly for this, like our gap year students, our visiting university students, knowing they have a short period of time, it's really important for them to be able to make those connections as quickly as possible. And one other thing, you know, I'll mention about like housing in a homestay and why we really recommend it. It's just another example of what we were saying at the beginning about kind of the culture in our community. When we started working with a homestay organization that kind of coordinates everything for us, so our office wouldn't do it. When they came out, like, you know, they coordinate host family arrangements for students throughout California, San Francisco, Los Angeles, San Diego, everywhere, Santa Barbara. They just couldn't believe how different the culture was and how much it wasn't a transaction in the way that it is in more urban places, where the family's like, okay, here's your room to rent, here are the rules. You know, stay quiet after 10 o'clock. They just couldn't believe, right, that the families out here, they're not really doing it for that. They're doing it because they want to have an international student living in their home and, you know, in many senses, a part of their family. And we hear all the time how many of our students are still connected with their host families. We had, right when the pandemic started, we had two German students that had come out just for that spring of 2020 semester. And of course, like they were living their best life, doing a great job, really enjoying their time. But of course, they had to leave in March. But to this day, they're in regular contact with their host families. Just a couple of weeks ago, one of our host families was in Europe and sent me a photo of them meeting up with two German students. I think it was in the Italian Alps or something like that. And so, that just kind of came to mind is just one other example of the type of cultural difference there is between where we are and some of the more urban parts of California.
Also one other option is that you can also always rent a house with a couple friends. So I remember one of my friends there, he was an international student from Germany, and he was sharing a house with two other guys. One of them was from Japan, and one of them was from Taiwan, and they were just renting a house together. So there's also this option. You can always find housing on your own. And
I wondered about that one, Lawrence. I remember those guys, and I'm like, this must be the biggest party house in Palm Desert.
I guess Lawrence keeps quiet about that. No comment. But so that basically means that for a student who arrives, staying in a host family, maybe sort of for the first semester at least, definitely makes sense to just get settled. And then once students make friends and maybe also find an area of town that they like, or maybe if they prefer to live in Palm Springs like you do, Cody, they can always do that and then kind of maybe change their living arrangements. But I would agree that a host family is like a really good kind of landing pad for students who live abroad for the first time, and especially because they're new to studying at university or at college. So having one less thing to worry about is definitely going to be helpful too. So awesome.
Yeah, but it definitely sounds like there are a couple of options to make friends. Lawrence, I want to go back to something you said earlier. You were referring to all the sporting facilities and amenities. So it's not surprising a lot of German students are into that and interested in that. So I was wondering, are there any, let's say, athletic teams that international students can join during their stay at COD?
So far as I know, there are definitely the option for that. I personally did not look too much into that. I think Cody can speak more to that. But yeah, if you're a good athlete in a certain sport, whether it's soccer, golf, I think football is also there, basketball, there's definitely the option to do that. And it's probably something that you can even look into before you actually transfer over there. I think that makes a lot of sense. And you might even be able to play on the team there.
Yeah, we have a lot of international athletes. And so, you know, because of our location, we mentioned there's over 100 golf courses, there's professional tennis all around. And so tennis and golf are more popular sports. But I'd say on almost every team we have, there's either currently international students or recently had international students. And, you know, some students come to College of the Desert specifically to play on these teams. But others, you know, maybe they just try out and they do well. Like that's happened before with a number of sports. And so it's, yeah, they're open to everyone.
Lawrence, you said you didn't join any of the athletic teams. Did you join any clubs on campus? Because I'm sure there's a lot of clubs and societies that College of the Desert offers.
Yeah, so the thing was for me that the first semester I was really trying to get accommodated and figure things out. Looking back at it, I probably should have looked into joining organizations right away just because it's a good way of meeting new people. So I personally was not able to join anything just because of COVID. Everything moved online after, I think, pretty much 1.5 semesters. So that's definitely something I, looking backward, I regret because it's just a great option. Here at UT, I joined an organization and it's great. I met so many people there and you build really good relationships for that, also from a career perspective, but also like really good friendships. So it's definitely something I would recommend people to do because it is the best way to meet new people. And also something when you apply for other schools or jobs here, it's something that makes good on your resume when they see that you actively participated in an organization and held a leadership position maybe. And it's really, really great skills that you can learn doing so.
I mean, life on campus and joining clubs, I mean, that's an important part, I would say, of the U.S. college experience. But of course, there's also life kind of beyond campus. So let's maybe go back to talking a little more about the Palm Desert and Palm Springs area. And Cody, you mentioned a couple of times right in the beginning that Palm Desert is located in the Coachella Valley. And I think even if people haven't heard of Palm Desert, they will have heard of Coachella. Not in terms of the valley, but in terms of the festival, which is a very famous festival. Has either of you attended? I would assume probably Lawrence, because of COVID, you haven't had a chance. But Cody, have you been?
I'm too old. And I feel like I would, I just can imagine the look on my students' faces if they're, you know, having a good time partying. And here comes the administrator from the college. I have not, but of course that's definitely the most famous festival out here, but there's just so many others that happen throughout the year. I mean, it's like every weekend, especially this time of year, it seems like something's going on. I'd say the most kind of iconic thing I've done here, we have an international film festival in January, and it kind of kicks off all the film festivals of the year for Hollywood. Hollywood loves Palm Springs, right? It, by the way, Palm Springs started, it has many, like, the origin story involves a lot of, you know, people, of course, in the Native American tribes over here. But it was a place where actors and actresses could go without breaking their studio contracts, like back in the early days of like cinema, mm-hmm. right? Because they could, their contracts specified that they had to be within 2 hours of Los Angeles or Hollywood for filming and things like that. And so then they would, this was as far as they could get, but it was also like this, you know, of course the Oasis and very private. And so there's always been this really direct connection between our area and Hollywood. And mm-hmm. so anyway, I got to go to the film festival right before the pandemic. And it was just like, yeah, I was starstruck, and I'm normally not. And it was so cool to see that like that's happening literally in our backyard here. But yeah, Lawrence, I don't think, did you go to the Coachella Music Festival?
I intended to go in 2020, but yeah, it got canceled because of COVID. Otherwise, I would have gone in 2020. I think it's supposed to happen this year if nothing changes, really. So yeah, potentially, maybe.
Let me know if you come out. It's definitely happening. And it's actually, it's been in the news a lot because they've decided they're going to have like no mask mandates and everybody, they just wanted to have like a regular, normal Coachella party fest.
Yeah, I actually saw the lineup and it looks pretty spectacular. It looks like everybody's going to be there this year. So
yeah. Cody, by the way, have you seen the Super Bowl ad with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
I heard about it. Yeah, it's basically like it's when he's like, isn't he Zeus or something, and he's retired to Palm Springs?
Yeah, it's a really funny ad.
We should check that one out as well then.
So yeah, there's definitely a lot of things to do in the Palm Desert and Palm Springs area. I want to go back really quickly to one more thing that we haven't touched upon yet, which is also the financial side of studying at a community college. Cody, maybe you can talk a little bit about that. How much does it cost to study at COD, and how does this compare to studying at a four-year institution?
Yeah, I mean, generally speaking, it's absolutely one of our top advantages. You know, as I mentioned, Cal State's UCs see the courses that we offer is equivalent to what they offer their students in years one and two. So that kind of speaks to the quality of education you get. But it's really literally a fraction of the price of a four-year university. And actually, College of the Desert in particular kind of stands out even among California community colleges for the lower tuition and fees that we charge for international students, but also because of the cost of living in our area. You know, like we mentioned, we're a resort area, beautiful place. People, you know, want to spend time here, but we're considerably less expensive than cities like San Diego, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Silicon Valley, Santa Barbara. So students spend, you know, quite a bit less to study with us. So for example, what we recommend or what we need students to show us if they're coming for a year, for all of their expenses, for their housing, for their meals, for their tuition, for books, insurance, everything, is $20,000. So of course, if you come for just a semester, about $10,000. Some students will spend less than that, some maybe a little more, kind of depends on their lifestyle. But you know, a University of California might be 2 to 3 times more expensive than mm-hmm. that. A community college on the coast in some of the cities that we've been talking about could be closer to $25,000, $30,000. So we consider, you know, the opportunities that we provide students at COD to be quite a good value. Mm-hmm.
And one popular question that we often get from students is, are there any scholarship options then for international students at COD?
Yeah, there are. We have a really generous foundation, actually. So there are some scholarships that are specifically for international students, but international students at College of the Desert can apply for dozens of other scholarships that are open to all of our students. So almost all scholarship opportunities they'll be eligible for. There's a few that require U.S. residency mm-hmm. or citizenship, but most don't. And we have different organizations even outside of College of the Desert in our local community that offer scholarships to our students. So is it ever enough for an international student to cover all of their expenses? Definitely not. They tend to range between, you know, 500, maybe 1,000, maybe a little bit more. Students can get more than one scholarship. Scholarships are often decided, you know, grades are a big part of it, but the scholarships that we offer through our program for international students specifically, we really focus on what we call their campus community engagement. And so those types of things we were talking about, like clubs, leadership, student leadership opportunities, you know, anytime a student gets a chance to share their culture, or just kind of participate in our programming, we really kind of focus and try to honor that. Lawrence, can you tell us a little bit more, did you, about scholarships at COD?
So I ended up getting a scholarship I think at the end of the first semester I applied for, it was, I think, $1,000. So yeah, again, as Cody mentioned, it's not something that you should like think of that it's guaranteed as, and it's not going to cover your costs. So you should always assume maybe not to get it. You should always have a plan for the if it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think there's definitely a good chance of you getting one if you apply and if you get good grades. And yeah, there's the option, definitely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Lawrence, you mentioned that you're at UT Austin now, so you have a direct comparison between kind of being at a big school in Texas and studying at College of the Desert. Looking back, how do you feel about your time at COD, and how do you feel that that time has prepared you for kind of the big adventure of now being at UT Austin?
Yeah, sure. So I think what definitely helped me a lot is going to community college before coming here is getting more accommodated to the country here, getting used to everything, and also learning the language. So when I first came, I was good at English, but not as fluent as I am now. So I think if I would have gone directly to UT, it would be definitely more difficult for me to stay on track and understanding everything, understanding the lectures. But also, you know, reaching out to the professors, asking for help if you didn't understand anything. So I would say COD definitely helped me in that regard of getting used to the way classes are taught here, understanding the system. As I mentioned before, I didn't know anything about university systems before I really came here. And also learning the language, getting the general ed classes. So that's also something because when you take those classes and you get credit for it, they transfer over. So, for example, I took my accounting classes, economics classes, all at COD, and they just all transferred over so that I don't have to take them here anymore. So right now I'm really taking more my major related classes. So definitely that's a big, big advantage, I would say. If I would have come to UT directly out of high school in Germany, it would have been probably been a lot more difficult for me to find myself here in here and staying on track in my classes.
Hmm. And maybe final question for me, for you is, what advice would you give others who are thinking about studying at COD or in the US in general?
Yeah, sure. So I would definitely say try to meet new people as soon as possible. Try to make friends. Don't be shy. Just, you know, try speaking to people. I don't think that you will ever have a bad experience just starting a conversation with somebody. People, again, as I mentioned, people are very open, very friendly. Try to get involved into organizations. Try to get certain positions within organizations. So you can be vice president of this organization or there are tons of different opportunities to do so because that's really something that also prepares you for your later life on because you really learn those leadership skills in those organizations. You will not learn them in the classroom. That's really something that you have to do outside of the classes. And yeah, pay attention. Also something that I learned for myself is the best way to improve your English is just by speaking it. So I remember for my first semester, I could listen for 1 hour to somebody speaking English, or I could talk with somebody for 5 minutes. And those 5 minutes of actually speaking would teach me a lot more than listening for hours or writing for hours. So it's really about, you know, getting yourself out there, approaching people, talking with them, and yeah. And also kind of have a plan, like start thinking early of what you want to do. I mean, sure, a lot of things you will learn as you go by, and you will see different opportunities arise as you go by. But yeah, definitely think about, you know, building up your resume. That's also something I would also mention there is here at UT, you're actually required in the business school to take career-focused classes. So they're called BA 101 and MAN 101. So I was taking those classes last semester, and they're all about applying for jobs, how to dress up for jobs. You have to write a resume. So it's really all about recruiting. And that's something that you would take at UT in your first year or second year. So, right. So that's something that you should, when you're going to a community college, you should start doing that on your own more and look into that more. But yeah, other than that, have fun and, you know, do good.
Sounds great. Yeah. And in terms of having fun, I think, Elias, you've prepared a little bit of fun for all of us, right?
Definitely. Yeah. But I also wanted to say before we close it out with our last segment, I think in our advising, we always promise prospective students that they were going to make giant leaps in terms of their language skills, English language skills. And I think, Lawrence, I think you're a great testament to that, proving that, students living abroad for, let's say, a semester, two semesters, or even longer, that the English skills improve drastically, and they are definitely benefiting from that as well.
Yeah, that's also something maybe... when you're over there, don't be too comfortable. Don't just try to make friends that speak the same language as you do, because then you will never really have the same experience. You will never really experience the country, and you will also not improve your skills that much. So don't try to be comfortable, and just definitely try to make friends that are local. Try to also maybe from different countries too. I mean, there are international students from everywhere. But yeah, try to really force yourself to, go out and make friends apart from who you already know. And I mean, if you want to meet German people, you can do that in Germany, right? So truly try to make use of the opportunity to meet people from different backgrounds, different cultures, because you learn so much by so doing so. And try to also speak English and not just stay in your comfort zone.
I couldn't have said that better. I just want to add too to that. We're unlike some of the schools that, in places we reference like Santa Barbara, Santa Monica, LA, we don't have, hundreds of German students that are here on gap year every semester. We'll have maybe 5 or 10. Mm-hmm. And so if you're looking for a place where, you really want to get a true California experience and follow Lawrence's excellent advice, we offer that for you. You can find some German students to speak with here, but it's going to be a little bit harder than if you were at Santa Monica or Santa Barbara City College.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, then let's move over to our last segment, which is our this or that question segment. So we would like to ask you a couple of fun little questions that we would ask you to answer as spontaneously as possible, and choose either option. So if you guys are up for it, then let's go ahead and jump right in.
Sounds good.
All right. Okay.
Nodding everywhere. Great.
Perfect. All right. Let's start off with, what's the better destination for a day or a weekend trip? San Diego or Los Angeles? Who wants to go first?
I'll let Lawrence go first on all of them, so I have a little bit more time.
Okay. So I personally prefer San Diego, just because it's not as packed as LA. That's definitely something that is quite annoying in LA, is the traffic. I mean, the LA definitely has, without no doubt, it's a great city that you should have seen in your life. There's so many things to see there. The Griffith Observatory, Venice Beach. It's a great city for sure. I just personally think San Diego is a bit more less stressful if it's your first time going there. And if you're going for a day trip, traffic is not as crowded. There's the Balboa Park, which is really nice. There's also a lot of, when you go a bit north of San Diego, there's, for example, Dana Point. And what's the name again of where UC San Diego is about the area?
La Jolla.
La Jolla, exactly. La Jolla. It's a great city. It's one of my favorite cities, to be honest.
Cool. I think most of our students say the same thing, but we talk about it all the time. They prefer San Diego over LA for the same reasons. I went to Cal State Long Beach. I think, Elias, you did as well,
yeah,
too. So, and I lived there for a long time. My heart's always just drawn that direction. So it's just outside of Los Angeles. So I tend to be a little bit more LA focused.
Nice. All right.
But I think LA is also a place that you have to spend more time in. If you only have a day or a weekend, then it ends up being really rushed because you basically spend a lot of time going in between places. Whereas San Diego is a little more laid back and you can basically just park the car somewhere and do a lot of things without having to use it again. So it might be different if we had asked you, where would you want to live for 6 months? So.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. All right.
And let's move along with the second question. Where would we rather find you on a Sunday, on a hiking trail or on a golf course?
Cody, you want to go first?
100%. It's almost every either Saturday or Sunday I'm on a hiking trail. So I have the worst golf slice on the planet. It's actually dangerously bad. So I don't belong on a golf course.
You've chosen the wrong place then, given how many golf courses there are. Yeah,
so I would probably be more on the golf course. I've been playing several golf courses in the valley there. They're really great. I mean, they're probably one of the best in the world. And it's a great destination for doing so. It's really unmatched, I would say, anywhere else. You would not have this density of really great golf courses in one place as you have in the valley there. Mm-hmm. I also discovered hiking there, actually, for the first time. It's definitely a great thing to do so, too. So, and you can just go for like half an hour hike, maybe 1 hour hike, whatever you like. And you will see lots of different parts. I really like the Indian Canyons in Palm Springs. This is a great, great, great area to hike. It's basically an oasis. There are lots of palm trees down there, and they have several hiking trails, and it's a really great place and beautiful nature.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. All right. For the next question, I'm really curious what Lauren's going to say, but what kind of food do you prefer? Burgers and fries or Tex-Mex?
I would say Tex-Mex. I really like Mexican food. I mean, there's nothing wrong with burgers. I would think it's more boring than Tex-Mex for sure.
Lawrence, by the way, did you know they opened up an In-N-Out just right down the street in Rancho Mirage from where you live?
I heard about it, yeah.
Famous burger place, right? But I guess if it's my turn, I'm vegetarian, so I'm going to definitely lean towards the variety of Tex-Mex options.
Okay, next one. Again, perhaps a little bit more for the student. Which one has the better nightlife, Palm Desert or Palm Springs? But maybe not. I don't know.
I mean, Lawrence wouldn't know because he's not 21 yet. But
I think just looking at bars, I would say Palm Springs is probably the better option. I think there's a bit more to choose from. But I'm not 100% sure. I don't know, Cody, you might be.
I mean, it's actually kind of tough because near College of the Desert, this street called El Paseo. And it's kind of like the Rodeo Drive of the Desert, they call it. But it has all kinds of fun restaurants and bars. But, you know, I live in Palm Springs, so I'm going to say Palm Springs for sure.
All right. And yeah, when we talk about College of the Desert, we also have to talk, of course, about national parks that are in the vicinity. So what's your preferred national park, Joshua Tree or Death Valley?
So I haven't been to Death Valley personally, but I've been to Joshua Tree a couple of times. So I would definitely go for Joshua Tree. I don't know too much about Death Valley, but I think from what I know, it sounds a bit more boring, I would say, compared to Joshua Tree for sure, because there you can also climb up on the rocks and have a great view for sure. So I would go for Joshua Tree.
Death Valley is actually really cool, but ever since when I was in college and went to Joshua Tree for the first time, I fell in love. And I moved to New York for about 10 years after I finished Cal State Long Beach. And I brought behind with me this. There's a map of Joshua Tree hanging on my wall back there. And I would look at it every day in New York and just think like, wow, so, you know, at some point I kind of want to get back, you know, it'd be great to be living there again. And then called to the desert, this job opportunity came up and I'm like, oh my God, that's like 40 minutes from Joshua Tree. So I'm there all the time and I absolutely love it.
Perfect.
Cool.
Also one advice I can give people. I remember I got that advice actually while I was at COD. It was from a German lady from some organization that gave me that advice. It's try to get the season pass for national parks. It's, I think, $80, and you can go to every national park in the whole United States for 1 year. So as soon as you go, I think, two times, you already saved your money. And it's definitely worth it. I've been to several national parks in the U.S., and it's great. It's there's so many great places.
That's really good advice.
Yeah, definitely. Well, on that note, thank you both so much for joining us today. It was really great talking to you and learning more about College of the Desert and all the Palm Springs, Palm Desert area. I hope you enjoyed it too.
Thank you very much for having us. This was a lot of fun for me and so good to see Lawrence again. And I'm so grateful that he was able to join us. And everything he said, I'm like, I couldn't say it any better than that for sure. So like you rock, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. It was really a fun time.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I think this was a really great episode for students. It's always good to hear from other students who've gone through the experience. So thank you so much for kind of taking time out of your busy college schedule. Although it's Friday, so I hope you don't have any classes today, do you?
No, I don't have any class on Friday. That's the advantage of being a business student. You only have class from Monday through Thursday.
Perfect. Well then, have a great weekend. And yeah, I think it's a wrap. Thank you. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Das war doch super. Cody hatte, glaube ich, mindestens genauso viel Spaß dabei, Laurens Erzählungen zuzuhören wie wir.
Ja, definitiv. Ich fand es auch sehr schön, als er gesagt hat, wie stolz er auf Laurens ist und das, was er bisher erreicht hat.
Ich finde, man merkt richtig, wie sehr sich Cody und sein Team um die internationalen Studierenden am College of the Desert bemühen und versuchen, sie auf ihrem weiteren Weg zu unterstützen.
Mhm, das stimmt. Und Laurens hat ja auch wirklich richtig gute Angebote bekommen, wenn er sich am Ende zwischen der UCLA, der USC und der UT Austin entscheiden konnte.
Ja, da hatte er wirklich die Qual der Wahl, das lässt sich nicht anders sagen. Du selbst wärst bei der Auswahl vermutlich in Kalifornien geblieben, oder?
Ja, wahrscheinlich. Aber ob es dann die UCLA oder die USC geworden wäre, wer weiß. Aber zurück zum Thema. Wenn euch diese Folge darin bestärkt hat, selbst in den USA studieren zu wollen, vielleicht sogar am College of the Desert, dann schaut doch mal in unsere Shownotes. Dort haben wir euch das Hochschulprofil auf unserer Website und einen Artikel zu den vielen tollen Festivals im Coachella Valley verlinkt.
Außerdem findet ihr dort einen Link zu unserem Ratgebertext über Community Colleges in den USA mit vielen weiteren Informationen zu diesem Thema. In dem Zusammenhang möchte ich euch auch noch auf einen wichtigen Punkt hinweisen, der in unserem Gespräch mit Cody und Laurens nicht zur Sprache kam, nämlich die Zulassungsbedingungen. Am College of the Desert sowie an vielen anderen amerikanischen Community Colleges könnt ihr nämlich nicht nur mit Abitur oder Fachabitur studieren, sondern auch mit mittlerer Reife.
Wenn ihr mehr darüber wissen möchtet, meldet euch jederzeit gern bei uns. Unsere Kontaktdaten findet ihr ebenfalls in den Shownotes. Ihr wisst es bestimmt schon, aber ich sage es gern noch einmal. Unsere Beratung und Bewerbungshilfe ist für euch komplett kostenlos, da wir von unseren Partnerhochschulen für unsere Arbeit bezahlt werden.
Die nächste Folge unseres Podcasts erscheint Ende März. Bis dahin sagen wir vielen Dank fürs Zuhören, bis bald und habt eine gute Zeit.